Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, The Real Gerald Quinn, on this 23rd of January, 2020, as I discuss the world of sports and pop culture. As always, I'm streaming live here on my YouTube channel. You can also check me out on iTunes, Apple.iTunes, Stitcher, and then later on this evening, maybe early tomorrow morning, Blog Talk Radio as well. Just a couple things as we head towards Super Bowl 54, which will be here before you know it. This, of course, is the you know, quote unquote bye week before everything kicks into gear this weekend with both teams arriving in Miami. So you'll do plenty of that next week. I'll put off the heavy stuff next week, though. I do have a couple things I want to touch on with in regards to San Francisco. Eastern Conference, the All-Star starters are out. They just came out about 30 minutes ago. No major, obviously the Western Conference was the lot, you know, the five locks: LeBron, Anthony Davis, Kawhi Leonard, Harden, and Luka. Those are virtual locks. It would have been a major story had any of those players not been voted in as starters. Eastern Conference, not so much. We expected the Greek Freak, Embiid, and also Kemba Siakam. I kind of expected those guys, and even Kemba Walker. Trae Young gets voted in as the fifth starter. We know what type of numbers he's put up, but we know Atlanta has been one of the biggest disappointments this season. I thought Atlanta would be fighting for an A spot. Though John Collins missed a number of games, but regardless of that, Atlanta should be better. That's all it is to it. They should be better. They should be much better than what they are. But Trae Young gets in. He's been putting up, again, video game type numbers. And I just today, as I was thinking about it a little bit, just came around on the idea of Trae Young deserving to be on the All-Star. To be an All-Star, because there's just not that many guards in Eastern Conference. With Kyrie being down, with some of the other guards on bad teams as well. I personally, I would have went with Kemba and Ben Simmons myself, but Ben Simmons is not as popular as Trae Young. Ben Simmons to me, like, should be starting on the All-Star team, or you could even went with Kemba and, you know, Kyle Lowry, but they're not going to have two point guards. Listen, the NBA has to lessen the impact of the fan vote. Right now it's 50, 25, 25. You have the fans, the media, and the players. They should probably lower the fans to about 25 for the fans, 30 for the fans, and 35 and 35 for the media and players. I think the media and players' votes should count for more than the fans at this point. I there's no way to me that Trae Young should be starting on the All-Star team. I mean, he was going to be on the borderline of making it. And I'm not one of these guys who treats the All-Star game as an MVP award or just strictly based on team success. I would like to use that, you know, in case the team success, in case you want to say, hey, both guys are having great years, both guys are having similar years, you know, what does the team look, you know, what is that team doing? I look at individual success for All-Stars even before I look at team success. But at some point, if the player is on a team that has been one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference and at one point was playing like one of the worst teams in the NBA, I got to take that into consideration. That's something to me that has to be taken into consideration. Again, I enjoy watching Trae Young play. Trae Young doesn't guard anybody. Let's keep that in mind. Like, he might score 29, 28, 29, but he's probably giving up 25, 26. He is one of the worst defensive players in the league by far. He's one of the worst defensive players at any position. But he gets in, he gets voted in. You could have went Butler. You're talking about in terms of deserving. You could have put Butler in that other guard spot. I think Bradley Beal's been phenomenal this year. I watch Bradley Beal a lot. Bradley Beal has been just off the charts good, and he has made Washington single-handedly made the Washington Wizards watchable. Like they, you know, they wouldn't Wizards wouldn't win five games without Bradley Beal. So he's made them watchable. He's made them entertaining somewhat. Somewhat, they've been somewhat competitive, even though their record's not good. And Bradley Beal right now at this stage of his career is a flat out better player than Trae Young. So I would, you know, you could have went with Bradley Beal in that other guard spot. Certainly even Kyle Lowry, even though he's a point guard, Lowry always tremendous defensively and has been a perennial all-star on the Toronto team that's going to contend for the Eastern Conference. So you had that going on. Of course, last night you had the debut of Zion Williamson in the regular season. And through the first three quarters, you know, it was kind of ho-hum. You know, he was not going through emotions. I shouldn't say that, but he, you know, he was kind of like feeling his way through the game. Wasn't forcing anything. Had a couple turnovers. You felt like he wasn't, you know, trying to get a second win. But fourth quarter, he showed you why he not only was number one pick, but he showed you why that this guy, if he stays healthy, will be a generational talent, a generational player. Without question, and will be a top player in this league. He has had a 3 minute outburst, 3 to 4 minute outburst, where he scored 17 points. He's the first player in NBA history to have 20 over 20 points and 7 rebounds in under 20 minutes. He only played 18 minutes, was had the crowd going berserk, even forced Alan Gentry's hand in terms of leaving him in longer in the fourth quarter. He was phenomenal. And again, he is a special player because he does not need to dominate the ball to be effective. He can play off the ball. He can play without the ball. He's unselfish. He does. He's going to be somebody that hustles, does the little things as well. His high basketball IQ. This guy is going to be a transcendent player if he stays healthy. Now, he's heavy. You know, saying 285 pounds, he probably look closer to about 310, 315. And then, and for those of you out there, I'm not fat shaming. He's a big dude. He's a big guy. There's no way he's 285 pounds. There's no way. And that's the scary part. This is not even in shape Zion right now in terms of basketball shape. He's not in basketball shape right now, like top NBA, peak NBA basketball shape. Again, he's must see. He is absolutely must see TV every time the team plays. Be looking forward to watching him. I'll be trying to watch every New Orleans Pelicans game because he's a different level athlete. I mean, he is a absolute different level athlete, knows how to use his body. And again, he was very patient last night. He didn't really force much. He had a couple turnovers that were due to rust, that were due to kind of, you know, trying to fit in, not trying to do too much. Not forcing his turnovers were off, you know, ball handling and a couple of passing. It wasn't, you know, it was not trying to, wasn't forcing shots at all. But again, that 3 minute outburst that he had in the fourth quarter, you saw that about, you know, 30 different times in his one season at Duke, where he kind of would be just feeling his way through the game. And next thing you know, he goes for like 15 points in 3 minutes or 10 points in 2 minutes. And it's like, you're like, oh, didn't he just have 5 points? Oh, damn. Now he has 21 points. That's how fast it happened. I was on my way home last night and, you know, I'm watching the game on my phone. I'm on my way, you know, watching the game on my phone on the ESPN app. And I didn't mean to give that plug, but we know the game was on ESPN. And, you know, after 3 quarters, I'm like, okay, you know, maybe, you know, maybe they're going to treat him with kid gloves and not play him a lot in the fourth quarter. I get home, turn on, you know, catch like the last 5 minutes of the game and say, oh, Zion has 22 points. Like what the hell happened? Luckily, I DVR'd the game and I went back and rewind and just couldn't believe what I was watching from the standpoint of how fast it happened. And, you know, knocking down the 3-point shots. And clearly, that's the one thing that he has been doing. Because his shot looked pure. There's no question that he's been working on his outside shot, and he again, that is something. Again, I'm not trying to make the comparison, but people are automatically going to make the comparison. Something LeBron James, he already has a better jump shot than LeBron James had coming into the league already at age, wherever he is at age 19 already. So, again, this is a matter of him staying healthy. I think that I like that team a lot. They have a lot of young talent. Brandon Ingram probably will make the All-Star team this year. He's had an All-Star caliber year. Lonzo Ball has improved. They still have Jason Hart. They have, Drew Holiday. They have a lot of young pieces where they just stay together, wait out some of these older teams, or wait out some of these teams, wait out the Lakers, wait out Golden States, wait out those teams. They will be right there amongst the title contenders. David Griffin knows what he's doing. Now again, I don't know if Alvin Gentry is going to be their coach long term. I don't know about that long term, but we'll see. Alvin Gentry did engine take a team to the Western Conference Finals back in 2010 with of course that fun Phoenix Suns team. So you had that going on in the NBA. I don't know if you noticed, because there have been a lot of stories around the league, but James Harden has kind of tailed off in the last couple of weeks. Now, these are stats before the game last night. In his last 10 games before last night, he was averaging 31, 7, and 7, shooting 37% from the field and 29% from 3-point range, from the 3-point line. He's had games from 3-point line in the last few weeks where he's been 1 for 17, 4 for 20, 5 for 19. And I think that when you watch him play, you just wonder how long can he keep up this style of play moving into his 30s. Again, when he goes to the line, like as many times as he goes is going to the line, that is absolutely physical wear and tear. And again, I know, and that's one of the things about Harden that you love about his game is about this game, and something that you have to give him credit for is his durability. He does not miss games. He doesn't take games off for the most part. 6'5", 6'6", about 215, 220. Yeah, he's strong as an ox. We all know. But that style of play with the going to the foul line and with being so dependent on jump shots, I don't know. I don't know how long he can play at the level that he's currently playing at. You would think he would have another 4 to 5 years left at top, 3 to 4 years at top level. Might be closer to 2 to 3. I don't know if his game. I honestly don't know if his game is going to age well. And not from so much from a physical standpoint, from a physical standpoint a little bit, but from a psychological standpoint. When James Harden's shot is off, there's no plan B with him. He's going to keep shooting. He's going to keep shooting. Or if he doesn't get to the line, if he's not getting calls early, then he stops being aggressive in terms of going to the basket. So, I predicted this in the beginning of the season. The narrative for Houston should not have been Harden and Westbrook and how they were going to mesh. The narrative is, and should, and the narrative is to me, or what it should be is, does James Harden have a number one, a championship mentality? We know he has a game. He has a. We know his game is of a player who you think you could build a championship around from a talent standpoint. Know he has number one talent, an all world talent, but we have not seen that man that translate to him being a killer on the court. Him having that mentality that it takes to take a team over the top when the money's on the table. I haven't seen it yet, and that to me is going to drive Westbrook crazy. Westbrook has been great the last 2 weeks, and really been solid throughout the course of the season. I mean, he had a mini slump, like in I would say late November, early December, where he was couldn't make a shot. But the last 10 or 12 games, Westbrook is averaging basically 30. He's been basically 38 and 7, shooting 53% from the field and taking good shots. Taking good shots, taking shots. Not, only this year he's only averaging like four and a half, 3-point shot, 3-point shot attempts a game, which is low for him. So, something to keep your eye on in regards to James Harden and how he, how he finishes out the season going into the playoffs. Tonight, Brooklyn, yeah, Brooklyn, LA. You have also Portland and Brooklyn, LA, Dallas, and Portland, because that should be fun. That Dallas Portland game, Luka and Lillard, of course, dropped 61 earlier this week, and of course, Luka is Luka. Luka is Luka. Kyrie Irving is expected to play. You'll see all the major players in that game: LeBron, AD, Kyrie, and Kyrie Irving, who needs to just play basketball. Shut up and just play basketball. I mean, he really does. Enough comments. Enough these. I couldn't imagine being in the same locker room with Kyrie Irving as a teammate. I mean, the energy that he brings to a team is just completely is just toxic. It is absolutely toxic, and he just continues to put his foot in his mouth, just continues to say stuff that's just wrong. Like we, we're one or two pieces away. How about that ultimate weapon you have on the bench, and Kevin Durant, who's probably the equivalent of having two all-stars. So Kyrie needs to just shut up, play basketball, get healthy, and try to lead this team to the playoffs until Durant gets back next year. Eli Manning, of course, will have a retirement press conference tomorrow after 16 years with the Giants. Two-time Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion and MVP. One of the most durable players at the position in NFL history. Eli never missed a start due to injury. He didn't have that streak snapped until he was benched. Until he was benched last year, not this past year, the year before last. Of course, the Giants handled that miserably last year, benching him. It's one thing to bench him for Daniel Jones, but the guy that they benched him for last year just made zero sense. Who's not even on the team, by the way, that quarterback. There's been, a lot of talk and a lot of questions about Eli Manning as a Hall of Fame candidate. And, is he a Hall of Fame candidate? Yes or no? And, probably not, and what have you. Let me tell you, let me just shut all that down. And I'm purely objective. I'm not a Giant fan. I just love football. Eli Manning, without question, is a first ballot Hall of Famer, and it's not even a discussion. You're talking about a guy who is one of 12 quarterbacks with multiple Super Bowls, and that list is even lower with multiple Super Bowl MVPs. He 8-3 in the playoffs. He led two game-winning drives in the Super Bowl. On both those Super Bowl wins were game-winning drives that he led. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that he beat in the playoffs and outplayed: Rodgers in Green Bay, Favre in Green Bay, Brady in the Super Bowl twice, not once, twice. Won conference championship games in San Francisco and in Green Bay. Think about the two names, two franchises I just said: San Francisco and Green Bay. No one's ever won a conference championship in Green Bay prior to that. Okay. He was the number one pick, had to follow, and again, think of just put it in perspective for a second. He has to follow in the footsteps of an iconic brother who's one of the five greatest quarterbacks in the history of the sport, in Peyton Manning. Okay. He gets drafted number one. How many number one busts at the quarterback position have you seen? I don't have enough time on this podcast to go through all of them. And he forces his way out of, he forces San Diego not to draft him. And for the Giants too, he engineers that along with Archie Manning and gets drafted by the Giants in the largest media capital of the world. And does nothing, had nothing but success. And you want to, what is your argument against Eli? Well, he had a 500 record as a quarterback. The last 5 years of Eli Manning's career, the organization was one of the most poorly run franchises in the NFL. by far one of the at like on par with Cleveland and even Washington, right? Like maybe they would have the third worst behind those two. But the Giants in the last 5 years have been atrocious as far as drafting and allowing Odell Beckham to basically run roughshod and poison that locker room. Bad coaching selections, bad just have not had a clue what they're doing in the last 5 years. So yes, his win-loss record, that would mess up, jack up his win-loss record. But when the money was on the table, when he had to make a play, when he had to win a big game, his playoff record speaks for itself. It absolutely speaks for itself. And you hear people say, well, outside the two Super Bowl runs, there is no outside the two Super Bowl runns. He is a two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback and the two-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback. There's no outside of that. You can't put that aside. There's no putting that aside. There's no putting aside the 8-3 playoff record. Now, Eli Manning, an all-time great? No, not all. I mean, there are levels to this. There are levels to Hall of Famers. There's like you. There are certain Hall of Famers that are heads and shoulders above other Hall of Famers. Is he in a lower level Hall? Is he a lower level Hall of Famer or a mid-level Hall of Famer? Yeah. No, he's not. We know he's not Joe Montana. We know he's not Brett Favre. We know he's not, Steve Young. He's not on that level. Not good as Aaron Rodgers. I don't even think he's as good as Ben Roethlisberger, to be honest with you. But all those guys I just mentioned are clear-cut Hall of Famers, and Eli Manning is also a clear-cut Hall of Famer. And he absolutely will be in the Hall of Fame. He will be a first ballot Hall of Famer without question. Again, at that position, you cannot take away the durability aspect, the way quarterbacks get hurt, the way quarterbacks go down, especially some of the offensive line issues the Giants had during the course of his career. So, it's I don't again I don't I just anybody who doesn't think he's a Hall of Famer, you just don't know what you're talking about. You just know to me, it's not even a question. It's just something to say just because. Saw Bad Boys last week, and I understand how much money is made. I understand the nostalgia that goes along with a movie like that. The first one coming out in '95, the last one. The last one coming out in 03. I walked out of that theater saying, we waited 17 years for this. And I'm not even going to give away, even though it's been out for close to a week, I'm not giving away spoilers. But some of the stuff, again, you have two 50-year-olds that are just too old to be running the streets as action cops. It's just, Lethal Weapon needed Chris Rock to add some freshness and to extend that franchise. If Chris Rock doesn't join the Lethal Weapon franchise in Lethal Weapon 3, we would be talking. There's a chance that we would be talking about. I would be talking about Lethal Weapon 3 and 4, just like I'm talking. That's just like I'm going to talk about Bad Boys for Life and Bad Boy 4, which is in production or soon to be in production. Like you need it. It's like John Elway needed Terrell Davis, excuse me, to extend his career. Again, this, it was the worst, by far the worst out of all three of them, out of the franchise. It was clear. It's not even a debate or discussion why that was the worst. One was a classic. Two was entertaining and funny. This I may have laughed twice in the movie. There was one good scene in the movie. One involving I'm not even gonna spoil it for you, but there was one good scene. There was one quality scene involving Will Smith. I'll leave it like that. And the scene stands out. The scene stands out. So again, I will get Bad Boys 4 will be a cable television movie for me. I'm not they not again they're not gonna get. They won't fool me next year or whenever it comes out. 2021, 22. Probably they'll probably come out. It'll probably be out in 2021. It will not fool me. Fool me. Don't fool me again. But I don't see. Again, I guess as movie fans, it's gotten to a point where we just have low expectations. Because I didn't, what everybody is seeing in terms of liking this movie, I didn't see it at all. And some of the stuff I've been hearing, well, they leaned into the aging process. I don't need Bad Boys to tell me to explain that we're all going to get old one day and die. I don't need a movie to explain that to me. I don't, like, yeah, like as you grow older, as you live longer, you're going to get older and you're going to slow down. Yeah, okay. And they didn't lean into it enough, to be honest with you. They didn't go all the way. They tried to go halfway. They didn't go all the way in terms of the aging process with those two. But again, I would not. Don't do it. Don't do it. I mean, if you with a significant other and they want to go see it, that's one thing. But if you don't have to go see it, don't do it. Just wait. It'll be on HBO in 3 months. But it'll be on HBO, well, maybe enough in 5 months. You can wait. You can wait. As far as these power leaks, I'm standing clear of the power leaks. I don't want any part of seeing what's going to happen, even though I think my predictions are going to be right in regards to the, Tasha and Tyreek being responsible for the shooting and killing a ghost. I believe that that prediction is going to be on. It's going to be on point. Listen, Courtney Kemp and 50 Cent have a once in a lifetime show with Power. They are going to milk this for every dollar imaginable. You're going to see Power. They're talking about three spinoffs. You might see six spinoffs with Power. I promise you. You might see that you're going to get a Kanan spinoff. You're probably going to get a Tommy spinoff. You're going to get the sequel that's coming out. That'll probably be out this summer. You're not going to have to wait long. After when Power's done February 9th, I guarantee you Power Book 2 Ghost will be out in sometimes in August, if not September. I promise you. You will not have to wait long for the first spinoff. So they're gonna milk this too. It can't be like this will be a billion-dollar franchise before they're done. 50 Cent and Courtney Kemp will be able to retire off the amount of money they're gonna make off this franchise. I prom off this show. I promise you. And you know what? Good for them. Because unlike Bad Boys, at least Power entertains me. At least I gravitate towards the characters. It entertains me. You can talk about the writing being trash, but you know what? It's entertaining. One thing about Super Bowl 54, before I let you go, there was a lot of talk about Jimmy Garoppolo. San Francisco, of course, dominated the NFC playoffs. They just ran over people physically with the running game, and Garoppolo only threw eight passes against Green Bay. It's called playing smart football. It's called just doing, if somebody can't stop it, you keep doing it until they put up some type of resistance. Green Bay never put up any type of resistance for the 49er running game. So that's why they almost ran for almost 300 yards. The idea that they don't trust Garoppolo, that they're trying to limit his, impact on the game is the most ridiculous thing that I've heard this year in regards to a quarterback. Garoppolo, since he's gotten to San Francisco, is 19-5. Okay. You know what San Francisco's record, Kyle Shanahan's record without Garoppolo is? 4-21. The year Garoppolo was traded to San Francisco, they were I believe they were 1-10. They were 1-10. Before he made that trade, they finished the season 5-0. Last year, after he tore up, tore his knee up, they started out 1-2. They finished the season 3-11. Okay, you get a pattern here. It's not a coincidence. Not coincidence at all. He's 21-5 as a starter. 21-5, and that is not a short, small sample. That's not like 3-0, 5-0, 4-0. That 26 games is a big enough sample to say if you're 21-5 as a team starting quarterback, you have a positive impact and a major impact on winning. So, game is not a game manager. I mean, like, enough with that. Like, please, like, this guy is a legit, I feel, top 10 quarterback. Not 10 better quarterbacks than Jimmy Garoppolo right now, that or who you would take in the next 3 or 4, 3 or 5 years. Please. Yeah. So again, and then I'll talk more about the Super Bowl, and we'll talk to some people in terms of what they do, their thoughts on the Super Bowl. I don't want to get too heavy into it because we have plenty of time for that. But those heard a lot at this weekend. Or after, especially after the game. Kyle Shanahan is this, and I like Kyle Shanahan. Kyle Shanahan's been true. You saw Atlanta fell apart without Kyle Shanahan with their offense. They haven't been the same offensively. So I get Kyle Shanahan is an excellent coach, one of the better young coaches in the sport, but not more valuable than Jimmy G. I'll tell you that. That's gonna wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. As always, catch this podcast on my YouTube channel. I'll be putting out clips on Instagram, so stay tuned for that. I'm out.